This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you in studio for a Friday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show. It's the final Friday of April. We have got a ton of guests that we are going to talk to on today's program. Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook. We'll talk with the new head basketball coach at Kearney High on the boys' side, Drake Baronic. We'll talk with Nebraska quarterback Riker Fife out of Grand Island. And speaking of Grand Island, we're back in studio after putting the Bosselman together. We've had a chance to kind of look at it, handicap it. Track announcer Steve Anderson will give us his thoughts in the second half of the show as well. We've got Fanatics Friday trivia coming your way. A chance to win a $25 gift card to Fanatics. And, Jimmy, there's a lot of other things to talk about. All these things going on. Storm hockey, Danger football, Nebraska volleyball, baseball for all the teams, Nebraska, Hastings, UNK, softball, the same. Well, and yet, I know that tonight you can't watch it live because you are officiating the Danger Bemidji game, but I know you have your DVR set for one of what will be one of the most intriguing 2 hours of television ever, and that is Diane Sawyer interviewing Bruce Jenner.
My TV will be taping a lot of things, possibly.
But that's going to be. They're trying to play highlights, and the highlights are so bad. They're supposed to. Those are the things. Those are the snippets, the clips, the teases that are supposed to get you to watch it. It's so bad. I don't know how you could sit down to watch it for 2 hours. The problem is we've lost a great athlete. We lost Bruce Jenner a long time ago. Now he's just become a weirdo in pop culture. And I'm not talking about if he wants to be a woman or whatever. He's long gone. But I want to know how many people will actually watch that thing tonight, because scary enough with all this reality TV, I think it's going to be a lot. I think it's going
to
be a lot.
It'll be intriguing to see what he says. Right?
Something else. I got about three things here because I know we're packed.
Okay.
Got a big press release yesterday from ESPN.
Okay, what is it?
Their big award shows, you know, the Louis they had last night at UNK was kind of a piggyback of what the ESPYs are, and that has turned into an event all of its own, because you know how every musician wants to be a sports star and every sports star wants to be a rock star, television, all that. They all come together for the ESPYs. Why were the ESPYs originated? It was to be an award show of ESPN. So this year it's going to be shown on ABC. I know it's all the same company, but what? What? So
yeah,
that just struck me as, what? Are you kidding me? And then finally, you watched the entire Royals game last night. I watched some of it. In fact, I just kind of started to watch it after the brawl. And the Royals now have to be careful. They went from the darlings. You don't want to be the hated. You don't want to be that team that everybody despises. And your opinion on what we had last night with all the ejections and the fight?
Oh, the Royals started this one. They're my team. They're my favorite team. I've enjoyed watching them play. I will continue to be my favorite team. But they did start this. They hit a hard ground ball back. You had two great pitchers going after it. Chris Sale is one of the best pitchers for the Chicago White Sox. He got in a little trouble in the first inning, gave up two runs, and then he did a really good job of pitching. The Royals gave up single runs, but it's a 2-2 tie after seven innings, and a guy hit a hard comeback. And, you know, the Royals pitcher, instead of just throwing it to first base and getting out of there and thinking, hey, thank God I got my glove on this. You know, he kind of stared down the guy, and then the guy said something to him. And, you know, there's I think there's a language barrier, maybe exactly what was said. Yeah. I mean, but the body language was not good by either player.
It wasn't, hey, you got your taxes done?
There you go.
Hey, happy birthday. It wasn't that.
No. And, you know, as a pitcher, I mean, your job when you snare one is to get it and throw it to first base and not show somebody up, you know. And, you know, he kind of looked at the batter like, hey, look what I got here. What do you think of this? You know what I mean? Or, and, hey, the batter's like, hey, I hit the hell out of that ball. You just happened to get your glove on. Don't, you know, I mean, that, you know, and but then here, the, you know, because of what's going on in the past, the White Sox are going, hold it. You know, we don't want to be 6-9 right now.
No.
I mean, you know, or whatever their record is. I mean, they don't want to be, they wanted to be fighting for this championship. And the roles are 12-4. They need to act with class and act like they are 12-4. That's my point. So the Royals just got to they got to play baseball and let all this other stuff go aside, because everybody's going to take a shot at you if you're not winning and see if they can get to your head, because that's what I do to this new pitcher for the Royals. What's his name? Ventura?
Yordano Ventura. Yeah.
Ventura, yeah. And
twice he's been tossed. That's a problem.
Yes. And he will get suspended. Now he can't pitch. And the Royals already got enough trouble. You know, when you pay $23 million to a guy, you're kind of saying, hey, we want to pay you to keep your cool too, you know. This is part of it. You know, we're going to give you $23 million, and part of it is keeping your cool. I know as an umpire, there are times when fans yell at you and scream at you, and they want to get under your goat. And you know, hey, your job is to just go in, act like you didn't hear them, go into the locker room, shut the door, let for everybody leave. You take a long shower, you and your buddies. You get in your car, you go home. You don't get to go out that night because no one's going to be happy to see you. Mm-hmm. So you just shut your door, lock it, and you know, there you go, and you're home alone. You know, so
and they still have 3 more games to play.
Oh my,
they still have 3 more games in this series to play. Let's hope it doesn't escalate like it did in the Oakland series. But I'm telling you right now, somebody's going to get plunked this weekend, intentional or not, and look out. Also had some great NBA and NHL. We'll get to that coming up. Riker 5 momentarily. Had a chance to talk with Riker earlier this week, and we'll play that for you. Then Drake Baronic, new basketball coach at Kearney High. We'll also be talking with Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook. They'll be playing in Grand Island tomorrow against K-State. Katie Brand on that team, the Central Catholic All-Stater, and has played very well, all-conference selection last year in the Big 12, and Steve Anderson from Fauner Park. But great NBA and NHL action. The weather will probably mess with some baseball and softball games. Nebraska moving the game up at Iowa, 4:05 this afternoon. Still be on 1230 KHAS. UNK softball, they have pushed their doubleheaders back, so they'll play Saturday at Hayes and host them on Sunday. They need to win both games Saturday. Those are the conference ones that count to qualify for the postseason tournament. UNK baseball, they dropped both games to Washburn yesterday. One of those was in extra innings, so now the teams are tied for fourth and fifth. And, of course, whoever gets the better of each other in the next two games will get to host next week, and it's almost a certainty that they will face each other next week in the best of three first-round MIAA.
Well, here's the trouble with this. The situation here is now, since Washburn won the first two games, if they split these two, Washburn, the way I understand it, would have the head-to-head because they are 3-1 against Kearney. Is that the way you understand it, Doug, too?
Yeah,
I mean, you know, so, I mean, Kearney's got to win both games to, you know, to the tie's not going to help them with this, with this two teams, with when they have their tiebreaker. The other thing was UNK had a 5-0 lead in that game and ended up blowing it. So that was a tough loss. The first game they probably got out
6-3. They just fell behind early.
Was a game they got beat. But the second game was one that you're going, oh my god, those are ones you don't want to lose.
Riker Fife joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show as spring ball is behind us, but there's never really a day off. Riker, hey, thanks for joining us on the Doug and Daddy Show, and has the body healed up from spring ball?
A little bit. Actually, a little bit sore from these workouts we've been having, but it's actually pretty good.
What has been going on since the spring game? What happens between now and, say, when school gets out for this semester?
We just had about two and a half weeks of just lifting and running early in the morning. Then we get May off to do whatever and train, do whatever you want, and then start up in June.
Riker Fife, quarterback out of Grand Island with the Cornhuskers, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Riker, let's talk about, we had Jack Gangwish on earlier this week. Needless to say, your personalities are a little bit different. So from your standpoint, kind of just keeping it under wraps here a little bit, what has this transition been like for you and how it's affected you with the new coaching staff?
I think it's been a good transition. These coaches they're just really good guys, and I get along with Coach Langsdorf really well, and but I really like the personalities. I feel like I click with them, and they're just good guys.
We talked about Coach Langsdorf and the way they like to run their offense, yet the personnel that's there was recruited by Coach Pelini's staff and running Coach Beck's offense. And some of that had to do with being in the shotgun and being under center. How many times have they actually put you guys under center? Because it sounds like that's something in the future that they'll want to do more than this shotgun spread offense.
Yeah, that's new for a lot of us, especially me and Tommy. We've been we usually throw out of the shotgun with Beck, but now they want us under center and doing a lot of just drop back, play action, you know, not having four receivers out there, having two or three, and then they like using the tight end. So, yeah, you got to really, this offense, put the ball where we're supposed to be and have good footwork, too, and good timing with your receivers. So it's definitely a big change compared to that up-tempo offense.
Riker, which one would you say compares more to what you did at Grand Island when you were playing high school ball?
Coach Beck's was probably more similar to what I did in high school, just up-tempo. You didn't huddle, came up to a line and set the play. And then you would, you try to get the play off as fast as you can. And what you're really looking for in spread offense is looking for just up-tempo and trying to get a base defense. And with the huddle, you kind of have to kind of, it's more of a mental game where you got to exploit their weaknesses, you know what I mean?
Riker, Fife joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. So will we see a transition to you guys getting under center in the fall, or will that take a while? You think you're going to continue to do what we saw in the spring game?
So, yeah, we've been doing all spring. We've been throwing under center and working on that. So, yeah, you'll probably see us throwing under center and play action out of center. But you also we also have run game and pass game out of shotgun, so we'll see, I guess.
Grand Island's Riker Fife with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Well, let's just put it out there, Riker. Your thoughts on where you're at right now. You had A.J. Bush start ahead of you. I was the white team. Coach said don't read a lot into all of this. So I don't want to read a lot into it, but yet the questions are out there. Where do you think you're at right now?
I think it's probably Tommy's number one just because of experience. And right now, I feel like all of us are kind of, especially me, AJ, and Zach, are all kind of mixed there with them too, getting two's reps. But I don't know. I mean, I understand when you get new coaches, they want to kind of build for the future with young guys. But, I mean, I think it all changed in fall camp when they really see who can play under pressure and wants to play, you know. And that's, you know, we'll see, I guess. I don't know.
A lot of the media guys don't think that six quarterbacks can survive, and everybody wants to play. That six quarterbacks is too many to have on the roster. Do you think all of you guys will be there this fall?
I don't know. I wouldn't imagine, but I wouldn't be surprised if we all stay either. So we'll see, I guess. I don't know. We'll see what everybody's doing.
Riker Fife joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. As far as the new offense, what are, besides just a couple of things that we've already talked about from the quarterback standpoint, what else are you having to learn? Is the playbook thick? Is it tougher? Or is it just like taking a new college class?
Well, it's kind of, it's stuff we've done before. It's just the terminology, just the plays are so much longer and more detailed compared to the spread offense that, that was just it was hard just learning the new vocabulary. But once you get that down and you learn how to say in the huddle over and over and you get more reps, it becomes easier. But, I'm kind of getting used to it now, and I like it. So it hasn't been too bad.
Riker Fife with us for another couple minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You've been honored even early in your career with being on the Behringer Citizenship Team and doing some things off the field. Is that continuing to grow for you? And what are some of the things that you do outside of football and outside of class?
I'm trying to think. Just last week, I went to my brother's elementary and like signed autographs for the kids. And even though half the school didn't know who I was sitting in a room by myself, just signing autographs for kids, and then did that type of thing. And other than that, I can't really think what else. But yeah, I've done some stuff off the field, I guess.
We got to talk to you a couple of times last year when you finally got to make your varsity appearance and got in there. Obviously, I'm sure you'd like to take more snaps. So how do you fight that urge off? How do you think you did in the time that you were in there? And how do you find a way to get a few more snaps?
Just competing every day in practice and, just showing the coaches that you want it. And if anything happens like last year in like Michigan State or Iowa, where Tommy goes down, you got to make the most of your reps and show you can play in big games like that. And that's a big thing is you gotta play good when you're in. So that's my way. You can stay out there if you're a backup.
The whole state has got the Coach Riley is such a great guy, and that's what we're getting from this entire staff. Have you guys in a moment? Has he let loose? Has he showed a joker side at all? Is it too soon to open up like that?
He can do some funny stuff, but he's just always nice, and I don't know. He's definitely a different coach than I've ever had. He's almost too nice. I don't know how to explain.
There's a lot of people think you're too nice,
good,
Riker.
Dude.
What
he's
the heck?
We'll just put it at that.
Well,
I really like him.
Has he sat down the law? I know in the off season and when you come into fall camp, there's all these people that come in and talk about grades and violations and the stay away from the gambling and all this. And of course, just yesterday, Boaz Joseph got into a little bit of problems, and I'm not asking you to comment on that. But has Coach given you his, hey, this is my discipline, this is how I handle things?
Yeah, he's gotten on us, especially it's tough for some of us athletes to get to class, so he's gotten mad about that, I guess. I couldn't really tell if he's mad. I think somebody had to ask if he's actually mad, but he's kind of got us about that, some of the school stuff. But other than that, he's always in a good mood, always happy.
What has he talked to you guys about? I assume you've had your personal meeting with the coach, whether it was Coach Langsdorf or Coach Riley. What do they want to see from you between now and when spring ball starts? What have they told you that you need to work on, and what are you concentrating on?
I actually haven't had that meeting with them yet. I'm having that on Thursday.
Well, there you go. You'll be able to tell us a whole lot more after the meeting, maybe. So we'll ask you that. We'll ask you that next time.
I'm looking for answers too. So that'll be an interesting meeting.
Well, it'll be a lot of things up there. I don't think it's fair to ask you if you're looking elsewhere, because we did that a year ago, and so I'm not going to ask you if you're looking elsewhere. But is that part of the meeting to see where you stand?
Yeah, you just want to know what they're thinking and see, you just want to see what they're thinking. You know, I don't really want to transfer because I like Nebraska so much, but I want to see what their thoughts are and just kind of even get to know them a little bit better. That type of thing, so we'll see.
Well, Riker, hopefully the meeting goes well here for you, and wherever you're at, which we hope is in Lincoln, and you get to see a lot of playing time, we always appreciate the time you give us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. So enjoy your summer, and we'll see you soon, okay?
Well, thanks for having me.
Thanks, Riker. Riker Fife, we got a chance to catch up with him earlier this week, as you could tell by the meeting, and I don't know, Jimmy. I've been saying that Johnny Stanton might transfer. You think Riker is thinking the same thing?
Well, I think, if he's not going to get to play, that's the trouble with any athlete is, if you really love your sport, it doesn't do you any good to sit out and not get to play. I mean, you can do all the reps you want to in practice. You can do what you want. But, you want to get out and play. You want to participate. That's what you want to do. Whether you're playing at, whether you're playing at Prairie View A&M or whether you're playing at Alabama, you still want to get out and play. And so, I'm not saying that you know, there's been so many people that have transferred that were Nebraska quarterbacks that were backups that ended up getting to play. They had a guy at Tulsa, you know, a guy at North Carolina State. Mm-hmm. There's been some guys that have at least, you know, they weren't maybe great NFL prospects, but they did get to play and they got to participate. And, I mean, I look at, you know, a lot of the great second-team quarterbacks at Nebraska, Brooke Behringer, you know, you look at Van Bronson. There's some really quality people that just didn't get to play. Tim Hager, you know, that backed up Jeff Quinn, you know, when he was at Ord. You know, there was some really good quality quarterbacks that could have really helped some other programs in the past at Nebraska. And you know, you just don't want to be that guy. I mean, whether you play at the University of Nebraska at Kearney, you know, whether you play at even Tulsa, you know, Northern Iowa, there's some places that got some nice play. Youngstown State, you know, wherever you decide to go.
Need to take a break. Drake Baronic is going to join us here in just a sec. My last thought, though, on Riker, and I could be totally wrong, but my feeling is right now, if Tommy went down, Riker would be the quarterback because he knows the system. We'll take a break. Be back with Drake Baronic, the new Kearney Boys basketball coach, after this.
You know that smell of fresh soil and the anticipation of going shopping to fill your flower beds and gardens? Welcome to Digger's Green Thumb in Kennesaw. Diggers would like to invite everyone into their greenhouse. Now open from 11 to 7 weekdays and 9 to 5 weekends. Stop in and pick out all of your garden plants, onions, and seed potatoes, and don't forget the garden ornaments. Diggers Greenhouse, one block south of the tracks on South Smith in Kennesaw. We know how your garden grows with plants from Diggers.
Cornhusker Honda presents a reality check. You don't have to shop all over to find your new Honda. Just head to Cornhusker Honda in Grand Island. You'll find great savings right now at America's most reliable cars and trucks. Plus, financing as low as 0.9% for up to 60 months with your good credit. That's savings for the long haul. The reality is the right choice is right here. Cornhusker Honda, just off North Highway 281 in Grand Island.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
One play can change momentum in a game.
Field goal attempt for the corner with 1.6 seconds to play. Now he launches up a shot at the buzzer.
And one deductible is a game changer when it comes to your insurance.
He hits it! A 3-point field goal with the state championship.
That's why you should see Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your Farm Bureau agents. They can bundle your car and home together into a single policy. So, if life sends a blitz in the form of a storm or fire,
kidding me.
You'll pay just one deductible for everything that's covered. Talk to Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers today and see how simple it can be. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company, Western Agricultural Insurance Company, securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliates, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Mostly considerable cloud cover and some breaks of sun at spots through the day today with isolated showers and storms. Highs will reach the upper 60s with south winds 10 to 15. Then with isolated showers and storms tonight, we'll fall to 47. I'm Paul Trombley. Right now it's 55.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. If you're in the market for a new or pre-owned vehicle, Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, Cadillac at Midway, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram is the place to be. I'll tell you what, looking even more in-depth at some of these 2015s, I know not everybody is in the market for a new car or you can lease a new vehicle. Midway takes care of you with that as well, but there are some dandies on the lot right now, so check it out at your Midway Auto Dealership. Plus, with over a 95-year heritage, two locations that include our eight new car franchises. The used car superstore is coming soon. Midway, as we've been telling you, is expanding with that superstore. If you are looking for a career with Midway, they would love to talk with you. You can find out about all the available careers. They're not all salesmen either, or saleswomen or salespeople, or as they call them, product specialists. There are other opportunities with this great organization. Check it out at midwaycareers.com. Speaking of changing careers, we have got Drake Baronic joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He's not changing careers. He's just changing addresses. And, Drake, Doug Duda, Jimmy Langan here. Congratulations, man.
Thank you. Appreciate you guys having me on.
Well, it's lately we've had so many great guests, and nobody's afraid to answer any question, which is always great. So I congratulated you to the people that say, good God, how old is he? Is he too young? What do you say?
I've had to answer that for quite a while here. And it really is, age is just a number. I just turned 27 today, and I really see it as that. As far as basketball experience is concerned, I've been in so many huddles, so many scouts, practices, games at all various different levels, and I feel like I have a pretty good knowledge of the actual, X's and O's and strategies and that sort of thing when it comes to basketball. The time at Holdridge was huge for me as far as learning how to switch that knowledge and understanding of the game into, kind of learning and understanding how to run a program. And it's a little bit different, and definitely learned a lot while I was at Holdridge, and looking forward to continue to learn while I'm at Kearney High.
Yeah, Drake, your dad was an assistant coach at 22, and his head coach was quite a bit older. I think he was 23, so we're 45 together when we started. So, age is not going to be a problem here. Here's what I want to know is, you've had your dad, Paul, Doc Sadler, Tom Crop, Kevin Lofton, yep. Lance Creech. You've been around probably more coaches than probably more than anybody that I would know at that age. Because you played at such different levels. And when you were at Ravana, let's be honest about it, normally Ravana had the best team, when you went on the floor. If you played 100 games at Ravana, 95 times, Ravana probably had the best team on the floor. And when you were at Holdridge, it was entirely different. You know what I mean? You had played at the University of Nebraska, when you're at Kansas, it's not like you're going in there as a favorite here. At Kearney High, you looked at their schedule this year. They had quite a few games where they were in overtime. They had quite a few games where they played teams that were about 5-15, and they struggled to win a little bit. That they did win a majority of those games, but against the good teams, against the teams that were 17-3 and 21-0 and 14-6, they really had trouble competing against a lot of those teams. What's your goal, and what do you see when you the upside of this move?
You got to win the games you're supposed to win if you're trying to build a program. You have to win the ones you're supposed to, and you got to sneak out one or two against teams maybe you're not as talented as. And we'll have a specific strategy figured out depending upon, if this team drives it a lot, they shoot it a lot. We got Creighton Prep at home to start the year. They kind of stretch the floor a little bit. We're probably going to have to play them a little bit differently than we would maybe in Omaha South or somebody like that. That's the scary part of Class A is, you see – different styles of teams, different nights, and guys are going to have to be prepared to play against any type of style. And that's going to be important as our coaching staff looks at it and how to get kids prepared for every style. And just the understanding that our kids are going to have of flipping from, really locking down the paint one night and then maybe stretching out and denying the three-point line a little bit more. So there's definitely going to have to be some specific strategies going into it. So our kids are going to have to understand scouts really well. And I know they have a pretty good knowledge base of basketball and the scouting aspect of it. So I don't see it being a problem.
Drake Baronic is the new boys basketball coach at Kearney High. They try so hard at Kearney High. We don't have to go into extreme depth here. So I think you got a lot of guys that would be familiar with the way you guys did it at Ravenna, the way you did it at UNK. You got kids that want to work, but they don't have big men. They don't have a lot of speed. What do you know about what you're going to be taking over talent-wise next year?
I would say, it seems like we got a lot of the same type of athletes that maybe I was to a certain extent. I'm a 6'4", 190-pound white kid, not overly athletic, have some decent skill and a good understanding for the game. So I see it as the fact that I kind of know, how to be somewhat successful with that body type, with that type of, athlete in Class A or something like that, to where hopefully I've been able to see it, kind of know some different things that I can teach these kids to be successful, given what we have in the, that's the beautiful part about basketball is you can always get quicker, you can always get faster,
in the game of basketball because there's such a deception in it. You know, any shot fake, blow by, if you can shoot it, stretch the floor, everybody can get quicker. So, you know, we've just got to be smart about how we attack things. And defensively is going to be the key on how to get people out of the lane and stay in front of guys. Because offensively, we're going to play five out. We're going to move basketball. We're going to have fun. You know, we don't have a big man, no big deal, because then their big man's going to have to guard one of our guards. So we just got to flip it and make sure that the other team has to attack, try to have a game plan against us as well. So we'll have some ideas on what we can do, and we'll definitely try to implement them.
I don't know if it was 1,000 times, Jimmy, but it was close to that when I was asked who's going to be the next Kearney coach. And they took their time. They went through the process. I heard Drake's name had to be towards the top of the list for quite a while. Drake, can you share with us what Kearney High wants from you, what went on in some of those meetings?
You know, it's just that kind of stuff just takes some time. And, you know, the administration at Kearney High, you got to make sure that they're hiring the right candidate. And I'm very grateful that they chose me. I'm excited for the opportunity to pursue a Class A job, and especially in Kearney, a community that I've always loved and wanted to get back to. You know, and the number one thing is just getting a competitive culture. And Jim kind of touched on it a little bit earlier there, just making sure we're competitive all the time against maybe teams that we're not as talented as, and just make sure we're flying around and doing that sort of thing. The other thing is, you know, having quality athletes that are two-sport athletes, being able to work well with other programs. I was a three-sport athlete, four if you count baseball at Ravenna. So, and I wouldn't have traded baseball to play basketball exclusively. So I understand what they're going through. I understand how to work well with others. I understand that baseball is important, and football and track and everything else there. So definitely want to encourage kids to continue to pursue what they want to do. But at the same time, you know, a guy like Brian Arp that might not be the greatest basketball player of all time, that's a guy that Kearney High has to have on the floor. So, you know, and he can improve his footwork and things like that for football, which is probably his better sport, or track or something like that. But, you know, I understand the sharing of the athletes, and looking forward to get a program going at Kearney High.
Yeah, Coach Baranek, when I started my career,
okay, that just sounded weird. That just tells me how old I am.
All right, sorry. I wanted to go out and run and gun. That's what I wanted to do.
Yep.
I mean, I watched the L.A. Lakers, and everybody was telling me, hey, you got to get out and run and gun, and you're going to run and gun. And you know what? That really worked well when I had the best team. You
right.
know, but when I pressed teams that were better than me and put full court pressure on them, all I did was generate offense. And the average person does not understand that. The average fan out there that thinks that's what you got to do, you got to run and gun, and you got to do that. What I'm going to tell you right now, all you're going to do is you're going to get beat 100 and something to 50 because you're generating offense for the other team. So, but you also have got to make it so it's an enjoyable and it's fun to watch. And your players are trying to get better. So what I'm trying to say is there may be a game or two you're going to lose, and you know you're losing that thing, but you're going to try to get better for January and February. Have you given that any thought at all?
Yeah, you know, and I think even at Ravenna, the reason why we were able to win 45 games in a row is because we beat the teams we were supposed to beat in the first quarter, and that was by pressing and getting after them and things like that. But when we played Bellevue West, when we played Aquinas, when we played those guys, we didn't press. We got back. We played half-court defense. You know, we pressed for a little bit, tried to get something. It didn't work. You know, just get back, play solid defense. I think you're exactly right in the fact that you cannot press good basketball teams. You can't get after good basketball teams for 40 minutes. Now, you can pick your points. You can pick your spot. But you can't make a living on it because they'll hurt you. So definitely have an understanding for that. You know, but at the same time, like you said, we want to make it enjoyable for people to watch. The main thing that I like to do is want kids to enjoy playing basketball, and that is getting up and down, that's shooting threes, and that's flying around and having fun. So, you know, we've got to play both sides of it. I think you're exactly right, and definitely mindful of that.
Last minute with Drake Baranek, now the new head boys basketball coach at Kearney High. You're leaving Holdridge. You got the experience there. I know Holdridge and Kearney, their administrations are really tight. There's been a lot of give and take back and forth there. What will Holdridge have next year?
Holdridge is getting left in a pretty good position. You know, our kids here, they love to play the game of basketball. You know, we've got them in the gym, got them bought into working pretty hard. So they've been through some lumps. You know, last year I think was going to be a pretty good breakout year for us. Unfortunately, we had some injuries throughout the year. Kids are ready. Kids are hungry here. And it wasn't an easy decision from that regard, just in the fact that I've made some really good relationships, like you said, with the administration, players, people, the community. But for me personally, it was an easier decision because my fiance is in town, Kearney, and we're going to look to buy, or we're buying a house there, and want to start my life in Kearney. So from that aspect, it was an easy decision. From the aspect of relationships and missing out on some of these guys here, it was very difficult. But Holder's going to be left in a good position. They've got to fill their position here in order for everything to go through. It's contingent upon them finding somebody to replace me. So I don't think that'll be an issue, but hopefully it won't.
Well, we'll save the jokes about what kind of a girl would hang out with you for another time here. But if you can, if you got a no comment, it's fine. The rumors out there about maybe some of your assistant coaches at Kearney.
Yeah.
Can you tell us if you've got some people in mind?
Yeah, I think, and I talked about it a little bit yesterday, you're never going to build a quality program at a Class A school unless you have quality individuals around you. I think every good head coach understands the importance of having people around them that are energized and want to learn and just enjoy the game of basketball. So I'm definitely looking to find some good people. I know there's good people in Kearney already. I'm going to have a conversation with some current assistant coaches, see if their philosophies meet up with mine. And then, as far as my dad coming along, he's going to be around in some capacity. I think it would be a disservice for me and him for him to sit at home throughout the entire winter and hang out with mom and twiddle his thumbs. So he's got a lot of energy left in him yet. It was just the right time to get out at Ravana. James Haven and Adam Mingus and Wayne Buck, they're ready to rock and roll and build their program and start their thing. And they're going to have a couple of years here to figure out what they're going to do and then hopefully get back on and have some success there. But my dad will be around somehow. I've got a lot of things I can still learn in coaching and basketball, and he can really help sharpen me up in some things. What he's really good at is simplifying the game and getting kids to understand what he understands. I've got a lot of knowledge in my head and a lot of things that I think will work, but it does me no good to keep it up there and not have my kids understand the same things. So sometimes I need some help there, getting it to where kids can understand exactly what I want them to do. And that's something that he's really good at. So he can be an extreme asset to our program, and looking forward to finding a way to make that possible.
Yeah, Dre, I think that's a good comment. I think it shows a little bit when you start telling people, hey, I don't know everything, and I need a little help with this stuff, and if somebody else can add this to the table, and there's different things. And, I know in football, when I've been doing this as a football coach for quite a few, and I'm not very good at many things when I coach football, but I was pretty good with clock management. I knew how much time was left, and I knew when we should sit on the ball, and I knew about taking a knee, and I knew all that stuff and generating that, and I was fairly good at that stuff. So you kind of know what you're good at, and hey, if somebody wants to listen to you and go, hey, this, we got an assistant coach back here, and this is what he's good at, and you're going to have some people that are going to be really good about going, hey, this guy's got three fouls, and this might be a good time to sit him for 20 seconds because they just brought in their big post player, and the last time he fouled him, so little things like that you're sitting there going, hey, great move, and those things sometimes go unforeseen. So, yeah, hey, good luck to you, and I hope everything goes well for you because it's going to be really hard for you. And, hey, I'll tell you what, all you got to do is be positive, stay positive with the program, and you're going to have people taking shots at you. You're going to do that, Dre. That's what's going to happen. But go ahead and you work it, and you just do it your way and try to be as positive as you can. I think things might work out for you.
I appreciate it, Jim.
Draco, we'll let you out of here with this. How did you get upset in the Ravenna Alumni Tournament?
Hey, man, that's a sore subject still. We're getting kind of old. I just turned 27, man. So
27, he's old.
Some MIAA player of the year and another younger suborn and Anderson kid came back. I don't even know who they were. I think they're legal players.
We better check eligibility on that UNK alumni stuff. So,
yep.
Hey, Drake,
yep.
We'll let you go get your energy bar and head off to class, all right?
All right, thanks a lot.
Take care. Drake Baronic, the new head boys basketball coach at Kearney High, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. You have said it so many times before, and everybody around the program here, it's a lot easier. You know, great coaches always talk about, well, I had great players, or, you know, we had great talent. Sometimes Kearney High could use a 6'9 kid. They could use a kid that could win the 100-yard dash, which they've had before. They are looking to build that program. They work so hard. They work so hard and give so much effort. But it's been a while since they had a first-team All-Stater. So we'll see how it all plays out for the Bearcats.
Yeah, and, you know, I mean, every program's different. Sometimes it's your schedule. You know, people don't realize, I think, sometimes that who you play dictates sometimes on how well you do.
Well, and that's another thing, Jimmy, because Kearney High, well, all the Class A schools, a couple of years ago, we talked about this with Coach Steinbrook. We talked about it with the two coaches that have been a part of it over at Grand Island. They're getting away from playing. They're playing basically all Class A schools. They're getting to. The Omaha schools were tired of Western Nebraska getting a spot at state when they didn't think they deserved it because their wild card points, they play Class B. Well, and the schools out here said, well, you got to come play us then. We're always willing to travel to Omaha, Lincoln, and play you. You're never willing to come out here. Well, the schedule has changed for these schools. They don't go to Hays, Kansas anymore. They don't play the Class B schools as a regular season, even though they're closer. They play top 10 Class A schools more often now.
Right. And, you know, when you look at different programs, I'll tell you what, in baseball, Scottsbluff is always the number one seed in the district. And they never win the thing, you know, but they're always about 38-7. You know, but they never come around and win that. And that's because of who you're playing. And, you know, I will say this for the Kearney High staff that coached the last couple years. They changed that schedule. They didn't get to play Holdridge. They didn't get to play Lexington. They didn't get to play the Fort Hays State Tournament. Those were switched with Bellevue West. Mm-hmm. You know, Omaha Creighton Prep. There was the schedule has changed over the years. And, you know, so let's be honest. That's something that we have to fess up to. It was disappointing with how bad we got beat in some of those games, how bad Kearney High did not compete in some of those games. But you know what? They tried, and in the year before, they competed pretty well. They lost a pretty good point guard, and they competed fairly well. So it's just the way it is. And I'll tell you what, right now, there's a lot of coaching changes that seem to happen, and they might be Oklahoma City might be saying, hey, you know, if somebody gets hurt, and you're going to fire me after 7 years because I lost my best player. So, yeah, it seems like there's a lot of coaching changes that are going on right now in 2015. People aren't very patient anymore.
And UNK's Carrie Hofstetter has brought on her assistant coach. She says she'll name her graduate assistant coming up this summer. And the new assistant has been all over Division One, Division Two, Division Three, Texas, Florida, Arkansas. And that is Brandon Rohr, a native of Tobias, Nebraska, and went to Nebraska Wesleyan, so we welcome him aboard at UNK. Big Daddy's Deli is the place to get a great sandwich, a home of a bazillion and one sandwiches at 610 East South Street in Hastings. All sandwiches are served with your choice of freshly baked bread or bun, cheese, your vegetables, the condiments, of course, that dill pickle spear that comes on the side, and make it a combo meal, chips, fruit cups, soup, potato salad, side salad. They've got desserts, cookies, and a whole lot more. Big Daddy's Deli will also put together a special meat and cheese tray or special sandwiches for whatever occasion you have. Thinking graduation? Hey, got to eat. Big Daddy's Deli is the place to be. And when you're in Hastings going to games at Duncan Field, they're right across the street there. 610 East South Street at Big Daddy's Deli. When we come back, we're going to handicap the Bosselman with Steve Anderson at Bonner Park and John Cook, Nebraska volleyball coach, plus Fanatics Friday trivia after this.
Are you being held hostage by today's propane prices? At three times the normal level, you need to call Anderson Brothers and fight back. Both air and water source heat pump designs are available from Carrier. Up to 75% of their energy is from the air and ground around your home. Energy that is both renewable and free to you. Let Carrier technology help you heat and cool your home. Turn to the experts at Anderson Brothers Electric Plumbing and Heating. Call 308-236-6437 or 995-4481 today.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
One of the most important things we can teach our kids is driving. Safe, proper driving habits keep your child safe from accidents long after they get their license. If you're looking for a new career or promotion, CDL and truck driving classes are available too. More details and registrations are available on the Nebraska Safety Center's website. The Nebraska Safety Center is here to serve your needs of driver education and other traffic-related classes.
Hi, Bo here from your locally owned and operated Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs. At 80 years young, GNC continues to be the world's leading nutrition and supplement provider with guaranteed product purity, potency, bioavailability, and pricing on everything in the store. Don't settle for second best. Trust the company and products with over 80 years of experience to meet and exceed your health and wellness goals. Only at your Hastings, Kearney, and Grand Island GNCs.
GNC, 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 GNC.
Life doesn't stop when you've got a big event like graduation. It just makes you busier. Copycat Printing in Kearney understands. Their talented design staff will create a unique, one-of-a-kind invite just for you. They'll design it, create it, and deliver your invitations. So relax. Copycat Printing in Kearney will make your invitation a priority, so you don't have to. Visit KearneyCopycat.com and like Copycat Printing on Facebook for great printing discounts.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Woo! Here we go.
It is time to discuss the biggest horse race in the state, the Bosselman Gus Fawner. And we want to remind you tonight one more time that the Hastings Legion First Pitch Banquet for their American Legion Baseball programs, their fundraiser, tonight at the Hastings City Auditorium. The doors open at 5:30. Free soda and suds while they last. Murphy's Wagon Wheel Barbecue Dinner starts at 7. The Hall of Fame introduction. They'll announce the Legion teams and introduce the kids that will be playing for all the Hastings Legion teams. Plus, there's the silent auction, live auction, raffles, opportunity to go home with some prizes as well. It's the Hastings Legion First Pitch Banquet tonight. Doors open at 5:30 at the Hastings City Auditorium. Well, we're always wrong with this. I am. Jimmy's right. He's getting ready for Sunday's handicapping contest, so he's going to prep it up with a little work on Saturday. But Steve Anderson joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He'll be calling the race tomorrow. And Steve, about 24 hours have passed since we've got the morning line out. Has your opinion changed at all on this eight-horse field? And good morning, my friend.
Good morning to you. And I assume you spent the rest of the day out of the backside of Fodder, especially with Jim Langan alongside, pounding on those barn doors for touts and tips for the handicapping contest on Sunday. It appeared to me that Jimmy was getting some. Am I right?
I'm not for sure, but I went to the bank. I went to the bank, and then I went and I borrowed money from my mother. So my mom, who's going to be splitting tickets with me, doesn't really realize it yet, but she's going to get involved in it. Yeah.
Well, I'm ineligible for this particular contest, but I'll keep a sharp eye on the computer printout on the Langan interest on Sunday. Sounds like you bet the farm on this thing.
Yes, I'm going to leave. You know, I might enter twice and have Jim Langan A and Jim Langan B. Is that legal?
Absolutely.
Good.
Hey, if you got access to that kind of money, we'll take it all, baby.
That's what I thought. We'll have a Jim Langan A and a Jim Langan B, I think. Yeah.
The handicapping contest is Sunday, and you can find out more if you're at the track over the next couple of days, or go to their website at faunerpark.com. But obviously, the big race tomorrow. And I'll give you my thoughts, but I want to hear your thoughts first on what it looks like tomorrow.
I got a whole lot better feeling about it today, Doug, than I did when you guys left late yesterday morning, early afternoon, because I think that all of us that sit here and try to put the pieces of the puzzle together to try to come up with a full field were really disappointed, because we had a couple of late detractors, which is normal, But we really thought we had a solid four horses that were going to ship in from out of state with a minimum of six characters joining the bunch, of which I think the majority of them have a legitimate chance on their best day. Not all of them, but if they're putting them in there, like Nancy Sheehan, which you guys didn't have a chance to talk to yesterday morning, but her eyes just lit up when the media got a hold of her, and she's doggone proud of the two horses she's starting, Sure Trick and Model Citizen, and rightfully so. On their best day, and if everything else melts down, and you heard the classic explanation of Chuck Turkle yesterday morning about how, you know, even the best laid plans can absolutely blow up in a matter of seconds. You just never, ever know. But at any rate, the two horses that are coming in are rock solid, and they're very familiar with one another. Joy Boy, who we've seen now for 3 years running in the Bossman race alone, owned by local interests and Kevin Hulls. And then Dr. Peter, who's also got a little bit of a connection with our assistant racing secretary, that being Wayne Anderson, and his cousin, second cousin, no less, Doug Anderson's the trainer. And these horses come in here with upper 90 buyer speed rating figures, Jimmy. And I don't want to lose your listening audience when I talk about speed figures, but that, in my back of my mind, gives us really two solid plays to work off of. Now, the way this race unfolds, obviously, will dictate the chances of Diamond Joe. But it looks to me like Joy Boy, he only has one style of run, and that's go right to the front, and I picked him to win because I think the other horses are going to lay in wait for him to fold late, and this time, if nobody attacks him and hooks him hard every step of the way, I think that Mr. Hulls finally gets the job done and win a race that he's literally a lifetime to try and garner. Having said that, though, the key horse is Dr. Peter, guys, because he can do anything you ask him to do. He can go to the front. He can lay right in behind the speed. He can close from out of the clouds. And he's got Terry Thompson coming in here from Prairie Meadows over in Iowa. He rode him down in Arkansas. He's won this race back in the early 90s on Battle Mountain, who was trained by Kelly Von Himmel. So Thompson's fully aware of what you have to do to win on a 5/8 mile oval. So anyway, if it goes according to Hoyle, Dr. Peter certainly is running at his ever-level best right now in his entire racing career. But I think Joy Boy gets an uncontested lead on the front and goes wire-to-wire to beat Dr. Peter with Diamond Joe and Battle Hardened slugging it out for the lesser remains. Case closed.
Jimmy, your thoughts on that?
Well, the key horse is going to be Model Citizen, I think, because I think you're right about Joy Boy going to the front. There's no doubt that horse has got to go to the front, whether it breaks or doesn't break. Diamond Joe will not go this time with Joy Boy. Diamond Joe was going to...
Absolutely.
He's going to have to hope that Model Citizen puts pressure on Joy Boy. So it's going to be interesting. Now, the good thing with Joy Boy is it's in the 7 hole, so if it doesn't break clean, it's going to have to really work hard to get to that first turn and get that. I think that's going to be the key to the race is how long it takes Joy Boy to get a length and a half, two-length lead. That's going to be the key. And if it can get that two-and-a-half-length lead early, then I think you're right. But if he has to use a lot of horse, you know, to get to the front and get that two-length lead, then I think it's going to open it up for some closers. And that's where I think Diamond Joe and Dr. Peter might come running right at him at the end. So I kind of have those two going first and second. I've got Dr. Peter and Diamond Joe, and I don't know which one's going to win it, but it's going to be one of those two. And then I think that only because I think Joy Boy's going to have to go too fast to get the lead. So I'm looking at that. And if Joy Boy and Model Citizen both go out and hook a little bit, I kind of see Battle Hardened and Saddle Glory picking up some pieces and maybe making it a nice trifecta because they could run third. One of those could run third, and it would make the payoff decent. Your thoughts on that? Can you see that unfolding at all?
I like your theory. Again, I don't think Model Citizen can go with Joy Boy, just off the top of my head. But I've been wrong more times than I've been right, Jimmy. I will say this. Joy Boy is one of those horses. He absolutely desperately needs the lead, and if he gets one and it comes easy, then you know what these horses do. They get a big heart and they can run all day. I've seen him do it down at Oaklawn Park against a much stellar field from top to bottom than what he's going to run against here at Fauner Park on Saturday. But, you know, you never know. I just know the passion that Kevin Halls has for winning this race. There's several others like him around Grand Island that have been scouting out for these kind of horses over the years. And there's so many things that can go wrong that you never even get your horse to Fauner, let alone into this race. I think third time's a charm again for Kevin Halls, and I think Joy Boy gets an easy lead. That's the only disagreement I would have. It's certainly, if it melts down, you've got the perfect scenario, Jim.
Well, for all the folks that are listening on the backside over there, and we've always heard some great comments, and the folks that are listening in the racing office, this is going to confuse the hell out of them, because Steve and I don't agree this time, and I hedge a little towards Jimmy, and it's still more than 24 hours before we have to pick. The one thing that scares me about Joy Boy, you look at its past performances, there's only one time in any legitimate race here that he hasn't really been right there at the end, but the last race out was only a mile, and the horse did fade to fourth. I mean, and it was only a mile. All the other races were a little bit longer, like a mile and 16th. I don't think Joy Boy, and God, it's great talking to Kevin, and he's a Burwell Longhorn and all that, and he'll probably never talk to us again, but if he wins, he will. I will not be putting a single cent on Joy Boy tomorrow. I think Dr. Peter, and even if we get rain, maybe I'm rose-colored glasses after what we got from last year's winner, but I think Dr. Peter wins this race. I think Diamond Joe is the second-best horse, even though Battle Hardened and Diamond Joe back and forth here the last couple of times. So I think it's a 3-8-5. It's between Battle Hardened and Diamond Joe. They've had some pretty good battles. But what always happens in one of these races is somebody like Beach Cooler or Sheer Trick slides in there when the race is over. If you get Doc Peter to win it by 7, and everybody realizes that one of these can sneak in there and clip you second and third. So, but I think it's 3-8-5 tomorrow.
Yeah, the pace of the race is always the key in any race that you handicap, guys. Look at the pace, Jim Langan, in the last race the Joy Boy was in. They went 45 and change in the half mile. They're not going to be within 10 lengths of that kind of pace at Fauner tomorrow. At least off the top of my head, that's what I'm thinking.
That's right.
I just don't think that meltdown's going to happen.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, I'm going to be betting pick threes and pick fives, and I guarantee you Joy Boy's going to be on my ticket. You know what I mean? because I have to have coverage, because that horse is going to be in the lead, and there may only be two horses that ever get the lead. You know what I mean? It's going to be Joy Boy and whoever passes Joy Boy. So there's only going to maybe only be two horses that ever have the lead in this race. But the point of it is, I'm saying with Joy Boy is, Joy Boy is a dangerous horse to play second and third and count on him to be part of your trifecta. That's a dangerous horse. That's a horse that maybe you can put on the top end and then forget about it. Not dropping him any place other than that. But in my pick threes and pick fives, Joy Boy will be on my ticket.
Mr. Duda, only one word of caution. I learned this a long time ago. What horse in this field would really upset you if he jumped up and won and you had nothing tied into him? Because I think Joy Boy fits the bill there as well.
Yeah, I agree with Jimmy. He either wins it or he doesn't hit the board. But that's why we play the game. And I'll tell you what, I don't know what the people think, that you picked Joy Boy or that I didn't pick Joy Boy. It probably confuses them, because they're going, Duda's always wrong and Steve's always wrong. What are we going to do? So Jimmy's usually right. All I know is that it's going to be a great day at Fauner tomorrow, all weekend long. We've got volleyball. John Cook is coming up after the next break. We're going to chat volleyball with him and see if we can get him and the girls to take in the ponies. It'd be cool if they were over there for the Bosselman presentation as well. But we'll see what all plays out. And any other notes before we let you go?
I'm glad you asked that, because in one of the preliminary bouts tomorrow afternoon, I'm talking about horse racing, in the fourth race, no less, Doug is coming back out to play. He doesn't look like he's got a real good shot, but if we get a little moisture, I think it moves him up. He's been a horse for the course for years. Doug, but I know you're going to be in attendance, and you've never caught him on his best day.
He's going to be coming out of the one hole, which is, I think every time he wears five is when he knocks him off. The one, I don't know. And he's definitely going to be double digits to one. I probably 15 or 20, and if it's worse than that, then I'm really scared. But get ready to saddle up the donations tomorrow, so we'll see how Doug does.
Hey, we're looking forward to you visiting over the course of the weekend. This may be one of the biggest weekends collectively in the history of Fauner Park, with the Danger playing indoor football tonight and the volleyball game sold out tomorrow night. We have no reserved seating left, as you found out, guys, for Saturday, but we'll get you in there with a shoehorn one way or the other, because we want to have all of you right there yelling as they come down the stretch, and what I think is again going to play out to be a great Mossman race.
Steve-O, have a great day today, and then we'll see you tomorrow.
I can't wait to see you guys at the races. Thanks so much. So long, everybody.
Track announcer Steve Anderson. And again, when he's docking sold out, it's always free for general admission. They're never going to shut you down there. Parking is the way it is. As always, it's free parking. But clubhouse tables are sold out. Turf clubs sold out. Skyline sold out. That doesn't mean you can't get in there and enjoy the day. And you'll probably be able to find a ticket, solo tickets, if you don't want exactly a table in the clubhouse. So keep your eyes and ears open. It is Fanatics Friday Trivia time. Fanatics has great pizza, great wings, and, of course, has all of the sporting events on. And this time of the year, when you're trying to watch the Royals, you're trying to watch the NBA, you're trying to watch the NHL, last night the number one and two college baseball teams in the country went down to the wire with LSU and Texas A&M. You can watch that as well. Fanatics has them all on for you. You got any trivia questions today, Jimmy? Do I have to do this again?
Do I have to do it again? Okay, here you go. How much time was left when Nebraska scored against USC in 19, I believe it was in the 71 season, their first national champion? USC scored. Nebraska was up 21-14. USC scored to make it 21-20 and kicked the extra point. How much time was left? Do you know?
I have no idea.
6:44. I thought they should have gone for two. They didn't, but you know what the heck. You know, Nebraska tied them, and they won the national championship. John McKay made the call. 6:44. I don't know what number it is, but they went at that time, they went for one, and the game ended in tie.
Call now. We're going to go into a break, and John Cook's with us. 888-455-ESPN. I've got the trivia question. It's going to be a little one-sided here. 888-455-3776. We have had so many activities. But the Tri-City Storm won the Anderson. They've never won the Clark Cup. They won the Anderson Cup one time. What was the year? Now, I don't want, you know, if it was 2013-14, then 14 would be the right answer. What year did the Tri-City Storm win the regular season Anderson Cup? Call now, 888-455-3776. First correct caller, $25 gift card to Fanatics.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Giving back to the community has never been easier. May 1st is Give Hastings Day, a 24-hour opportunity to give to your favorite nonprofit organizations through the Hastings Community Foundation. Log on to givehastings.org on Friday, May 1st, and make your donation. It's that easy. You can win bonus money for your favorite charitable causes and enjoy some friendly competition. Plus, your donation stays in the Hastings area. Shape the future of Hastings in a single day on Friday, May 1st for Give Hastings Day. Live here. Give here.
The South Heartland District Health Department wants you to help us become the healthiest nation in one generation. Nationally, public health has seen successes like increasing life expectancy and reducing infant mortality. The United Health Foundation places Nebraska 10th in the United States in overall health ranking, but we still face challenges to do better. Take a pledge to do your part to eat well, exercise, and make healthy choices. Together, we can build healthy communities. Together, we can help create the healthiest nation in one generation. This message is from the South Heartland District Health Department, because they care about you and your loved ones.
Where you're a neighbor, not a number, we're Custom Pack.
This week at Custom Pack of Hastings, get USDA Slug Beef T-Bone Steaks, only $8.88 a pound. Fresh homemade cheddar jalapeno bratwurst, only $2.98 a pound. And tray pack chicken hindquarters, just 77 cents a pound. It's all at Custom Pack of Hastings.
At Custom Pack, you're a neighbor, not a number.
Have you ever seen a rusty fish? The same way scales protect the fish from his environment, the Arma Coating Spray-On Bed Liners from the Dent Popper protects your pickup bed. No rust, no dents, no scratches, no chemical corrosion. So your truck has a longer work life and holds its value longer. Reduces load slippage, and here's a bonus, it quiets the ride. See the Dent Popper north of Railroad on First, on the bricks, downtown Kearney, and get a free estimate for an Arma Coating Spray-On Bed Liner. Guaranteed for as long as you own your truck.
NMC, the Cat Rental Store, is honored to partner with the Kearney community with the opening of the newest rental store. Located at 2608 East 32nd Street Place, Suite C, NMC Cat Rental is your source for daily, weekly, and monthly rental of high-quality, low-hour cat and top allied brands of equipment and attachments. Contact NMC for your next rental and choose from skid steer loaders, tow-behind booms, generators, and so much more. Visit online, nmcrental.com, or call 855-NMC-RENT, nmcrental.com.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us, Doug Gooda, Jim Langen. We're going to talk with Coach John Cook, Nebraska Volleyball, here in just a moment. Hey, farmers, the 2015 irrigation season is fast approaching. Find out why so many growers are moving to T&L's hydrostatically powered pivot irrigation system. T&L's superior reliability, low maintenance, safety, and the simplicity of T&L's hydraulic design are just a few of the reasons why a T&L should be in your field. Contact your local T&L dealer or find out more on their website, TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation Systems, like no other, TLIRR.com. I'm going to give you the winner of our Fanatics Trivia here in just a moment. We don't have a winner yet, I don't think Brent has told me. So if you'd like to call for Fanatics Trivia, our question was, when did the Tri-City Storm win the Anderson Cup as the best regular season team in the USHL? They're going to continue to play for the Clark Cup tonight and tomorrow, 7:30 and 7:05. So there you go with that. You look like you wanted to say something.
I always look like I want to say something. You know what's interesting to me is this trivia stuff's tough. You know, I mean, I think you're good at it. And I continue, I think I'm going to co-host, but I want you to always be in charge of the questions. Because my questions are going to be too hard, you know what I mean? So
sometimes I think they're hard, they nail it right away. Sometimes I think they're easy, and it takes 20 minutes.
I never know.
We do know that Nebraska-Michigan State football is going to play in prime time for the second straight year. Could be a little chilly November 7th in Lincoln. The game will either be at 6 or 7. It'll be on either ABC, ESPN, ESPN2. Bottom line is, depends how good the teams are when they play in November. They'll probably make that decision a week or two out. Don't forget the UNK spring game tomorrow is set for 1 o'clock at Foster Field. We've run down the baseball and softball. Of course, we're going to talk volleyball with John Cook here. UNK is also at home tomorrow playing their Spring Legends Classic. So if you're going up for football, catch a little volleyball. They're running from 9 to 3, too. You're not officiating that, are you?
No, I'm going to be at the track, Doug. You know what I mean? I'm pretty sure.
Knowing you could do something from 9 to 12 and still make.
I agree. I've been known to do that before. So yeah, really, I'm going to do that danger game on Friday, and I think I'm going to spend the night in Grand Island and just work on the form, study the form.
You got a big weekend.
Oh, it's going to be huge. I really got a lot going on, though, and I would hey. You know, what are you going to do this weekend? Oh, I got to ref a game, and then I got to study the form. You know, so yeah, you really got some
different hobbies.
Yeah, there you go.
Hey, congratulations to Marissa Bongers. She broke her own school record at the Drake Relays, 208.3 in the 800, and lost the race by a tenth of a second. All of the other runners in the race were Division I runners. Grand Island soccer team, the only action today on the pitch there at Lincoln North Star. Yesterday, Kearney swept Columbus. It was Grand Island Northwest losing a pair to Hastings, and then Kearney Catholic split with Lakeview. Lakeview winning the boys' game, the Kearney Catholic girls winning in a shootout.
in a track yesterday. We talked about the Grand Island Northwest, Dave Gee Invitational. Adam Central boys win it, followed by Aurora and Cozad. The Northwest won the girls, followed by Boone Central and Holdridge. And over at Gibbon yesterday, Broken Bow won the boys, followed by St. Paul, Centura, Kennesaw, Kearney Catholic. For the girls, St. Paul the winners, followed by Kearney Catholic, Broken Bow, Centura, and Wood River. It was a little windy, but not a bad day yesterday.
No, it was a great day. I mean, you know, it was cool enough, you know, that the distance runners could run, Doug. So you're exactly right.
Chris from Kearney, and his last name's not Legan. Chris from Kearney is the winner. He knew that 2004 was the Anderson Cup winning team. He'll pick up a $25 gift card to Fanatics. So congratulations to Chris.
And see you tomorrow night.
Anything else you got to talk about for the weekend?
No. I got to clarify something. I thought Chris was ineligible if he called in. I thought Chris was ineligible. Family members can't win. Isn't that right?
On your day, yeah.
On my day.
If it's a different day. Yeah.
Oh, he can call in?
Yeah, like when Damon or Randy's co-hosted.
Well, you owe us some cards in. I'm going to get a couple of these cards in because we had a couple of winners. I didn't know that. I didn't know he was eligible to win.
We'll work on this.
It's not like I'm going to text him the answer for a $25 gift certificate.
Well, tomorrow night, the Nebraska volleyball team plays their only spring contest, and they're doing it again at the Heartland Events Center, which is sold out in Grand Island as they take on Kansas State at 6 o'clock. And we are pleased to be joined on the Doug and Daddy Show by the head coach of the Huskers, John Cook. And, Coach, looking forward to having the Huskers back out here in the Tri-Cities. How are you this morning?
Well, I'm doing great, and we're really looking forward to coming out there, and it's always a great feeling to know that we're so well supported, you know, west of Lincoln here in the state of Nebraska. And I was actually, men's basketball had a big recruit in yesterday, and I was actually trying to explain to this recruit and their family that the whole dynamics of, you know, a spring match, going to Grand Island, sold out in an hour, and you know, and then the local Nebraska girls playing on both teams that'll be there. So it's setting up to be a pretty cool night.
What continues besides your success? What continues to make events like this work? I mean, nobody else is going to sell out somebody else's gym in an hour.
Yeah, I know. I wish I had all that written in a book somewhere. But I think you know, Nebraska volleyball has been built and been successful with Nebraska players. And you look at our USA team right now, we've got three Nebraska girls starting on the USA team, and they'll be coming to Omaha this summer to play in a historic event up at the Century Link. We're hosting the Final Four for the third time in 10 years up in Omaha, and we sell out the Vanny. You know, I never in my wildest dreams ever imagined we'd be selling out an 8,000-seat arena for volleyball here. So the Husker fans, the Husker Nation, love Nebraska volleyball, and they love what these girls are all about and what they stand for and how they represent our state. And they're also do some things at a really high level. There's been a love affair with Nebraska volleyball in the state, you know. And I've gotten a chance to speak a few times out in the western part of the state, and I'm always amazed at how many people will come up to me and say, "Hey, I finally got season tickets. I have season tickets for the first time." So I'm like, "You mean you drive all the way from Holdridge to Lincoln for every match? Oh, yeah. Don't miss it." So that's a pretty cool feeling.
We're talking with Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Play Kansas State at the Heartland Events Center tomorrow. Coach, it is unusual, usually 3-4 matches every single spring. I know sand volleyball may change that a little bit with that taking about a month up. But why only the one match this year?
Well, you hit it right on. The sand volleyball, we kind of had to adjust our spring from the traditional spring that, like, K-State would be having, where they're playing, you know, they play four different weekends and play as many matches as they want. With sand, we put a lot into sand, and it ends up, you know, our season ended 3 weeks ago, but it cuts into our spring indoor season. But we feel the trade-off is worth it, and it takes about a week for us to transition from sand back to indoor. I got to be really careful that, you know, we do that transition, because it's a whole different ball game when you're playing in the sand as opposed to playing on a hard court. It just takes us a while to transition back. So our spring season is really only 4 weeks. We have a week of transition. We have the spring football game. And we did an inter-squad scrimmage last week, and then we're just going to do one big event. And we decided, you know, we always like to go somewhere in the state. Last year we went up to Wayne, Nebraska, and helped raise about $23,000, I think, for some tornadoes when the tornadoes went through there. So that was really cool to be able to, you know, give back to the community. So this is our one big event. And like I said, sand kind of impacts how we do things now.
John Cook with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Coach, there's a lot of your girls are going to have the opportunity to play for a variety of so-called national teams over the summer. You've made a lot of trips as teams together overseas. What would be the difference for these girls working individually with different coaches and different players?
Great question. And, again, great opportunities to play internationally, and this gives them a taste, you know, if they want to play professional after Nebraska, you know, what it would be like. It just keeps exposing them to that. You're right, they get to play for different coaches and with different athletes from other teams. So we have Justine on our team is going with the Big Ten team to Europe this summer. Brianna Holman is going to go to Korea to play in the World University Games, which is it happens every 4 years, and it's basically an Olympic for college athletes. So it's a very, very big deal. Alicia Ostrander from Gordon, Nebraska, is going to train with the USA 2 team, they call it, and will play in New Orleans this summer, late June, early July. And then Michaela Fecky, one of our incoming freshmen, it hasn't been announced yet, but there's a very good possibility she'll play in what's called the Junior World Championships, which is in Cyprus, which is outside of Greece. And this is the Junior World Championships for, you know, 19 and under. So, and she'll represent USA in that. So these kids are getting some tremendous opportunities to play all over the world, different environments, different events. But, you know, that's international volleyball. And people in the U.S. really don't understand the international side of it as much because we just are so focused on college and high school here. But there's a whole other world out there internationally how they do things, and these guys get to be a part of it.
John Cook's with us for another couple minutes here on the Doug and Daddy Show before we send him off to some exciting compliance meetings, which I would not want to set next to you. I would go to Greece, though. That would be kind of a cool gig. Hey, John.
Yeah.
Obviously, I don't think it's to the level of Tim Miles, how different his roster looks, but your roster is going to look a lot different than it did last year. Are you still trying to get a handle? Where are you at with this year's team?
Well, last year we had the largest roster we've ever had, and we have four players that transfer or are in the process of transferring, and you know one of them was a walk-on, and so you know. Typically, when you try to carry more players, it's hard to keep everybody happy, and kids today want to play. And, you know, you look at all the basketball transfers, you know, going on because players want to play. And so our roster will still be fairly large next year, and we have a great incoming class. But the girls that are leaving, you know, I think they want to have a bigger role somewhere, so I actually think it kind of balances our roster out a little more. It'd be easier for me to keep everybody happy and give everybody playing time.
There's no doubt with the Final Four being in Omaha, you try and build your team to hit its peak this year. Do you feel that you'll still have that opportunity?
Well, I certainly like, you know, how our team's setting up. And, you know, we've made some decisions. We've moved some people around to try to have a great team this year. You know, and this is a – last two times as in Omaha, we made it both times. We made it by, you know, it's not easy to get there, and we had to win some, you know, five-game regional final matches to get there, and I don't see it any different. But this group now with Katie Amber Ralston, Kelly Hunter, Alicia, Kelsey Fien, Cece, and Megan Haggerty, I mean, Justine, we went from being the youngest team in the history of our program last year to now we're going to be a veteran team. We only had one senior last year, so I'm hoping the moments we played and beat Penn State and beat Washington at Washington, that's going to be our new standard as opposed to, you know, some of the very close five-game matches that we lost in the Big Ten, you know, very close by 2 points, that we'll learn how to win those now with more experience and better leadership, and just having, you know, that confidence and knowing they can beat the best in the country. We just got to be able to do it every night now.
And, John, you've always been an outspoken voice when it comes to the support of volleyball and your love of the game. And it's not just volleyball, as we're seeing with basketball. There is a more transferring than there's ever been. Is it starting to get a little bit out of control? You've benefited from it. This year you're probably not going to benefit from it. Just what's your thoughts? Do they have to rein it back a little bit?
Well, I don't think there's any way you can. And our chancellor came out, and he's on several committees, saying that, you know, we're probably moving toward there's going to be eliminating the transfer rules. So you can just, you know, if you want to transfer, you can transfer with no penalties and so on. But what the problem is, it's the early recruiting. So these kids are making decisions as ninth and tenth graders. And then, you know, by the time they get to college, things have changed. They've changed. And it's so hard to predict and know, you know, how it's going to work out. But I blame it on the early recruiting. But a lot of that is driven by the parents and the recruits. So, you know, and coaches making early offers. And so I don't know how you slow that down either, but I just think this is going to be part of the norm now. And I think kids are going to move if they're not happy, and they want to play if they end up not playing. So it's just going to be, I think it's the new world of college sports.
Finally, Coach, K-State's played a lot this spring. What exactly will you be looking for from your team tomorrow night?
Well, I feel like once we get through the nerves part of it, because, you know, anytime you play your first match of the year in the spring, fall, it doesn't matter, there's going to be some nerves and some adrenaline going. So once we get through that, I feel like, you know, we have a chance to play at a pretty high level, and it should be a great match. And, you know, I want us to be low air in things that we do, but, you know, we're a very physical team, and I want us to, you know, we're going to thump some balls and block some balls. And so I'd like to see us do the things we've been doing in practice and doing it for a long period of time and try to do it three games better than K-State.
Now, you're right next to Fauner Park. We got the state's biggest horse race tomorrow. Are you going to bring the girls early to let them watch a couple?
well, we hadn't talked about that. I don't know how many. I know Alicia's got horses, so, or her family does, so I'll have to ask her. Maybe we're going to get in there early in practice, so maybe we'll go over there and check it out.
It'd be great to see you, and no matter what, it's going to be a great environment tomorrow night for Nebraska K-State. Coach Cook, always appreciate the time. We'll let you get off to your meeting, and see you tomorrow night.
Okay, guys, thanks.
Thanks, John. John Cook, head coach, Nebraska volleyball. Again, part of the big day tomorrow in Grand Island. Our Midtown Mark Cooler question wraps things up for the day. Home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you yesterday with Barry Bonds having his obstruction of justice conviction overturned. Do you like that? 83% still hate him. I don't know if you hate him or if you didn't like what happened, but 83% said no, not a fan of the overturning of that. Mets and Yankees interleague this weekend, and we've got them Sunday Night Baseball here on ESPN. They're both currently in first place in their respective divisions. I told you when we made our predictions, the Yankees, nobody's talking about them. That's when they sting you, and the Mets are just red hot, of course, thanks to Lucas Duda. Which team has the best chance of making the postseason? We know it's early, but hey, be right. Which one do you think? Which team, the Mets or the Yankees, have the best chance of making the postseason? Vote now at ESPNSuperstation.com. It's our Midtown Mart Cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. Both of those divisions are supposed to be tough. I'm going to say the Yankees, only because the Mets are going to see, I think, better pitching, especially with Washington in their division and Atlanta playing well out of the gate here. So we'll see how it all plays out. So I'll take Yankees. Maybe that'll put the jinx and hex on them as well. Hey, folks, have a great weekend. There's way too much going on for you to not find something to be able to do, whether it's storm hockey, the danger, the volleyball, the baseball, the softball, the horse races, on and on and on. Just enjoy it. We had a great week of guests. If you want to check out the podcast, go to ESPNSuperstation.com. We thank the new head boys basketball coach at Kearney High, Drake Baronic, Riker Fife out of Grand Island, and Nebraska quarterback, along with Nebraska volleyball coach John Cook and Steve Anderson.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over!
Bonner Park. Good luck this weekend. We'll see you Monday. Nebraska second baseman Jake Schleppenbaugh among our guests on the Doug and Daddy Show.